Lord, you are so holy, and you are worthy to receive all honor and all praise and all adoration. For thine is the kingdom, O Lord. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, and in thy hand is might, and in thy hand it is to make great. Hallelujah. And to bless all your people. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love the Lord this morning? Give the Lord a hand clap here if you love him. Somebody shout the praise of the Lord. Give the Lord some praise in the house. Can I get somebody to shout some praise to the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I think you may be shouting before we get through with this message, you know, some more this morning. Praise the Lord. This morning, by the grace of God, I want you to listen. And I'm going to tell you what we have been speaking about in a minute. But I remember at the beginning of this year, as we were crossing over, the Lord gave us a promise for this year. And he said, in this year 2017, ye shall be built up. Amen. And I can testify to that. In my family, the Lord is already building up. Amen. Now, are you being built up? Is the Lord raising you up? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this morning, I want everybody, you know, don't miss this message, because you will miss a great blessing if you do. You know, so whatever distraction is going on, you get back in here and listen to this message. Praise the Lord. God's favor shall speak for you. Amen. That's right. You know, so the favor of God will speak for you. In fact, the favor of God will locate you. Amen. That's right. So, God's favor shall speak for you. Amen. So let's start here. You know, we're going to lay a foundation for this through the scriptures and so forth. And then I got some, you know, declaration to make from the Lord. I'm going to start in the book of Psalms chapter 44 and verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, O Lord, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Amen. Now, talking about he was giving a testimony about Israel here and how they obtained the land of promise. Well, they did not do it by, they didn't get it in by their own power, he said. Neither did their own sword save them. You know, it wasn't their sword, it wasn't their own arm that saved them, but it was the right hand of the Lord and the light of his countenance, because he had a favor unto them. Amen. We're going to be talking more about that favor here this morning. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'm going to go through some scriptures real quickly, but I want you to pay attention, because there is something. If you can connect with this message, your life will never be the same. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. God is, because I was wondering, I said, Lord, you know, how shall I remind the people of the promise of God that in this year, they will be built up? I said, well, you know, he said, well, this is how you're going to do it. You know, so I've got this. This is very, you know, urgent in my mind to help everybody here today. So you pay real close attention. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Now, we've touched on this message before, various ways and so forth. But there is something that God wants to bring to us today. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, he said, I returned and saw under the sun. This man was always talking about things. He looked around and so forth, and the things that he saw. And he said, look, the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding. Well, you know, that seems contrary to what we normally find. Nor yet favor to men of skill. You know, so, but he's saying that, look, the race is not to the swift. Well, you know, I've watched some races. I used to race myself. And in my time, you better be swift. Because if you're not swift and you're doing a 100-meter dash, you are finished. It takes only 10 seconds and you are over. It's over. You know, so the race was to this week, as far as I knew it, you know. And, you know, I mean, we've always known that, you know, the stronger people in war and so forth, they seem to win all the time and so forth. But God said, no, forget all that. Hallelujah. Forget all that. And it's not, look, riches, you know, and so forth, the thing that God does, the favor of God, we're going to talk about that today, how he brings it. Now, before I get too deep into this message, let me tell you that there is a way that God blesses his people. And God will bless you in many different ways. Now, God will bless the work of your hands. Amen? You know, for a man to do good and to enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. So when you work hard, God will bless you. Amen? When you give, God will bless you. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. And all those things and so forth. And when you walk with God in righteousness, God will bless you too. Because the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be tranquility in your lives. You know, God will bless. You know, so God will bless through all of those means. Today I want to talk about a special way that God chooses to bless sometimes. And I want people to pay attention. You know, we've talked about this in some different ways and so forth. Now, let me read a few other scriptures just to show you how God does his things. Now, I've already, during the starting prayer, I quoted this 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you want to go to it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I pray this when I prayed at the beginning, verses 11 through about 13. You know, how he gave glory to God and said, I need kingdom and the greatness and the power and the victory and the majesty and so on. You know, so all of that is God. It's not yours. Amen. The power belongs to God. The victory belongs to God. The greatness belongs to God. Amen. You should listen to a message on our website called Greatness is from the Lord. You know, and I will touch on something in that direction today. Now, but all these things that God does, he said the kingdom is his. He's exalted as head above all. Now, listen to verse 12. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord, and thou reignest over all. Now, I don't know about you, you know, but, you know, I love to have the true riches of God. Amen? I don't pursue them, but sometimes they actually do pursue me. And you're going to hear it in this message. Amen? But I love anything that God has to give me. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, now riches and honor, true honor, comes from God, not honor of man. You know, and so forth. But real honor comes from God. Amen. You know, and in thy hand, O Lord, I love this part. In thy hand is power, and in thy hand is might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Hallelujah. Now, God is the one that does that. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Take a look at Psalm 75, verse 6. I see where promotion really comes from. Not from the south or the east or the west and so forth. You know, the Lord, that's Psalm 75 and verse 6. The Lord is the one that lifts us up. The psalmist said, you know, thou art my glory and the lifter up of my head. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let me give us some scriptures here on how God wants to bless us. And then we're going to come back and connect it with the favor of God. Now, I want you to remember that the power to make great and the power for riches and honor comes from God. Amen. That's why we read those scriptures. But there's more of those kind of scriptures coming. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Now, these are some things which we should take note of. And after today's message, you have to connect with this, what God is revealing to us here. Because God wants to do something for us. And we're just not positioning ourselves, positioning our faith correctly. And so, you listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, notice, that's the Holy One, not the Holy Three. The Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Amen? and which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. So, God is the one that's going to lead you. God is the one that's going to teach you to make great gains. Amen. Hallelujah. And the next time I preach the part two of this message, I'm going to be talking about the hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of darkness. You know, but not today. But I want to talk about the favor of God, how He brings that into your life. He is the one that teaches you to make profit, He said. Now listen to chapter 8 and verse 18. You know, he's reminding them here that, look, you better remember the Lord, you know, when things are good for you. You know, he talked to them about it and so on. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, I'm talking about God is the one that gives you the power to get wealth. Can you say amen to that? That he may establish his covenant that he swear unto your fathers as it is this day. Now, there are many times that Moses told them that, in so many places, he told them, he said, look, when it is well with you, never forget. He said the same thing even in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You will, you know, and this one I read in chapter 8. I've just skipped the verses. You can read the rest of it. Because he said, look, when you eat in plenty, when things begin to go well for you, and when all these things do good for you, never forget the Lord. Amen. You know, he said the same thing in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. He said, look, in verse 10. It shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers and so forth, and he has blessed you and you are building and you are doing and your houses are full of goodness and so on. This is Deuteronomy 6 and 10. When all these things are happening, you know, and God is giving you to eat even of places where you didn't sow, you know, take notice of that. You know, others, you know, do some stuff, you know. There's been a time that people thought that, look, I'm laboring and somebody getting it. No. The time to favor God's people has come. Amen. The enemy shall no longer eat your corn. But you might actually eat somebody else's. You'll find out in this message later on. Not because you wanted to do it that way, but, you know, God knows what he's doing. Amen. Now, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. And God's always telling them this, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. In your own case, it may not be the land of Egypt that he brought you out. But there is some significant thing, or there are significant things that God has done for you in your life. And never forget it. Amen. God is the one that raised you from nothing, or put you where you are today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And never forget it. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, of course, Hannah praying, you know, to the Lord about, you know, God giving her a son, or, you know, fruit of the womb. And she was just praying and so forth like that. Now, let's read here in verse 8. The Lord causeth the poor, you know, raise them out of the dust, and lift the beggar from the dunghill, and cause them to sit among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Can you say amen to that? Now let me read that to you again slowly, because that is so deep. He said, the Lord raised up the poor out of the dust, and he lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. He can do that. And he to set them among princes. Praise the name of the Lord. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. That's what the Lord can do. Amen. You know, and because the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, you know, and he has set the world upon them, he can do this. And listen to this very carefully. The latter part of verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. For by strength shall no man prevail. No, it's not by our strength, it's not by this and that, but it is the favor of God. In fact, when your strength fails you, when you the brightness of your understanding and the greatness of your knowledge and everything fails you, favor of God takes over. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Now, listen to this. Let me give us some examples. I want to make this quick. Some examples in the Bible of where God laid his favor smack down in people's lives. You know, and when he put that favor down, there's nothing anybody can do about it. Now, I want children to listen to this. Because, and I want my own children to listen to it too. Because there is a certain favor that God put down upon the godly parents that trickle down to their children. Automatically. Praise the Lord. You know, and, you know, if you love the Lord yourself, then you can double up on it. Praise the Lord. But you get it anyway because of the goodness of the Lord that is upon the godly seed. Amen. Hallelujah. There are so many promises for the seed of the righteous. Amen. Now, but let's listen to this. Let's look at the story, some stories. I picked out a few stories here in the Bible. And I'm going to start from the very beginning. Let's start with Abraham. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 11, we all may know the story, but if you don't know it, read it some other time. I'm not going to read it. But in that time, that's the story of the Tower of Babel. You may have heard of it. And people wanted to get together to make themselves a great name. They said, look, let's do this. Let's build a tower that reaches up to the top of it, reach up to heaven. Let's build us a name. Let's do this. Let's do that. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to do it. And the Lord confused them there and scattered them. You know, but their purpose and their thing, they wanted to be great. They wanted to bring themselves a great name. They wanted to build this thing that reached to heaven. They want, you know, I mean, I've heard that before. I will ascend to the sides of the north. You know, I will set up shop like the Most High. And God said, no, you are going down to hell. Amen. That's what the devil do. You know, but these people, they wanted to do these great things and so forth. And Lord said, you're not going to do it. But then God turned around in the story of Abraham in chapter 12. After that whole Tower of Babel story, and God confused them and didn't let them do it. Now, this was a man, Abraham, that wasn't even seeking for greatness. He wasn't even doing anything. He hadn't even known the Lord. But the Lord handpicked him. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of thing I want to talk about today. When God handpicks you and puts his favor in your life. That's what I want to talk about. God handpicked Abraham. Listen to this in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, I didn't even change his name yet. Come out of the place where you are, get out of your kindred and so forth. I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. And listen to what God said to him in verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. Abraham wasn't seeking to be a great nation. I mean, if he had a child, he would be satisfied. He didn't even have one. You know, and God said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. Hallelujah. God is the one that said it, and it wasn't something that Abraham was pursuing after. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse you, and so forth. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, there is no greater blessing that God ever put on any human being than this one right here. But he wasn't even seeking for it. You know? But the favor of God located him. Hallelujah. And after God did that for him, the Lord, you know, basically did the same thing for Isaac because of Abraham. I've preached on this before. You have to listen to the message, generational blessings. I don't want to go into all of that. But, you know, I've preached on that. And God, because of Abraham, put the same blessing on Isaac, and then later on he put the same blessing on Jacob. But there's a story that I want to bring out in each of these people's lives. Especially, you know, the story of how, you know, God began to choose various people that he will put a blessing upon. Now, if you compare what people were doing in Genesis 11 to what God did in Genesis 12, you'll see there's a big difference. These people that were pursuing after this thing, and God shut them down. But here was a man that wasn't even pursuing anything, and God said, I will make you great. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's look at, I will skip some things just on account of time. I think you'll get the point. Let's look at the story of Jacob and Esau. How God chose Jacob over Esau. Now that story is found in Genesis 25. You can read from verses 21 to 24. Genesis 25, verses 21 to 24. But I want to read the account from Romans chapter 9 of the same thing. You know, so if you want to read the origin of the story, you can read it in Genesis 25. But I want to read this account in Romans 9 because I love this chapter. And every time I read it, I cry. You know, so now, Romans chapter 9. Let me read from verse 10. Now, I was talking about Rebecca when she had conceived, you know, by even one which is our father. For the children being not yet born, verse 11. Neither having done any good or evil. See, she had twins in her womb, according to Genesis 25, the verses that I gave you in verses 21 to 24. She had twins. And it was said to her, we are reading it here, the children that were in her womb, they were not yet born. They have never done any good or evil. But that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, not of works, but of election. He that calleth and he that chooseth. Amen. It was said to her, the elder will serve the younger. And they have not done anything. So, you know, when they came out, they were twins and so forth. The one that comes out first is supposed to be the elder. And then the one that comes out afterwards is supposed to be younger. You know, but God reversed it. There's also an interesting sermon on our website called The Crossing of the Hymns. You know, it's very interesting. You should read to that. I mean, listen to that one as well. Now, so the elder shall serve the younger. Amen. And he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with God? No, God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. Now, of course, you should will and you should run. But it is of God that showeth mercy. Amen. And I want to talk now, mercy, favor, and so forth. They, you know, I can say it this way. Mercy and favor have met each other and they have kissed each other. Amen. You know, so they go hand in hand. But I want to talk about a variation of that mercy, the favor of God, when he picks it out and puts it on somebody. You know, so the favor, God puts his favor on Jacob. There's nothing anybody could do about it. Laban or anybody else couldn't change it. You know, this man could make things happen. This man could, you know, the favor of God was so much upon him, he could make the cattle conceive it one way or the other. Praise the Lord! That's not my subject today. You have to read it. I don't have time to go into that. But God's favor was so much upon him. You know, it was great. And he kept going like that and so on. Now, one of their descendants, I'm going to talk about the favor of God in his life a little later on. That's Joseph. But I'm going to save that one for the last. Let me talk about David right now. The favor of God that was upon David's life. Now, David, now, okay, God just reminded me of something. In the case of Jacob versus Esau, part of that favor that was upon Jacob made Jacob to get the birthright, whereas Esau wouldn't get it. You know, now the birthright belonged to Esau, but, you know, he lost it. Now, God had already designed, he already said it before they were born. So all those things that Jacob was doing, people call him a supplanter and so on and so forth. Well, God already said the elder will serve the younger. And so, you know, that sometimes, you know, there are some things in the Bible, right, that say like this, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet such and such. Now, when God wants to fulfill something that he already said, then he begins to orchestrate some things. Amen? Now, some things will be happening that you may not understand, but it may be that he might fulfill the favor of God that is working on your behalf. Amen? Now, let's move on to David. When it was time for Samuel to choose a king other than Saul, God called him and said, go over here and so forth, and the sons of Jesse and all that. And then tell them, you know, Samuel said, well, what shall I say? Well, tell them you came to do a sacrifice and so forth. So they had a meeting, a town hall meeting or whatever. And everybody except the one that was chosen was invited. Are you still with me, folks? David was not invited. The other people were invited. They had time to prep. You know, maybe it was like, you know, you have an interview and you have time to prep and so on and so forth. These people knew they were going to meet the prophet. Something good is going to happen. You know, so they got ready. You know, they probably did whatever they did in those days to come to the sacrifice. Maybe they sanctified themselves for a few days and so forth. They got themselves ready and everything, you know. And but they were not chosen. Hallelujah. They were not chosen. And one by one by one, they came, but they were not chosen. Now let's see this story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now my emphasis is not today on the ones that were not chosen, but my emphasis rather will be on the one that was chosen. Amen. And the favor of God spoke for him even when he did not, you know, compete for the position. He did not even care. You know, praise the Lord, but he was there just doing something else. And you can read 1 Samuel chapter 16. You can read the first 16 verses, but I'm not going to read all of it. You know, so I'm just going to go through it. In verse 6, when he saw, you know, Jesse made his sons, starting from Eliab, the oldest, to pass through before Samuel one by one, and Samuel would look. And when he saw this Eliab, because he was a tall guy and looked very good and strong and, you know, anointed, and he was trained in battle and everything, and he was built, you know, he was really built, because it was put together. So Samuel said, ah, this got to be the guy. And the Lord said, no, I've rejected him. One by one by one, and God did that. So finally, well, God didn't exactly tell Samuel who it was, but, you know, he knew that when he saw, he would know. So finally God said, you know, Samuel said, well, you know, if God rejected every one of these, do you have any other son besides these ones? So God rejected every one of these seven that he showed me. And said, well, yeah, there's this other one and keeping the sheep and so forth. You know, we don't know where he's at. He's always in the wilderness with the sheep and so on. Well, go get him. Oh, I'm going to wait, and nothing's going to happen until he gets here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they waited for him, and when he came, the Lord said to Samuel, yep, that's the one. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, of course, you know, the whole time that David was there, he was probably just praising the name of the Lord upon his harp and so on like that. He wasn't thinking about anything. He wasn't competing for anything. He wasn't even appearing, you know, making himself appear, you know, for the meeting and auditioning, you know, for the position like all the others were auditioning. He didn't do any of that, but God chose him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the favor of God upon his life, you can read the rest of the stories, you know, and just like the Bible used to say in the Kings and the Chronicles, and all the rest of the acts of David, are they not written in the books? You know, so you can read it. You know, I'm not going to go into that at all today. You know, but just showing you how God will do these things. Now let's go to the story of Joseph. Because this is where I want to, this is the last of the stories that I want to use today to prove this message here of how God does these things. When God puts his favor in your life. Hallelujah. Now, there are many chapters devoted to the story of Joseph, from Genesis chapter 37, clear on to the end, except for 38. You know, if you want to read this story, take Genesis chapter 37, skip chapter 38, then take 39 through the end of Genesis. It's all about Joseph. You know, so, as the story goes, and the young people should listen to this as well, it's a good story. You know, Joseph was one of the younger ones. You know, he only had one other younger one behind him. His father loved him because of who his mother was. I'm not going to go into all that. You know, but Joseph had these dreams. He was a dreamer of dreams. And every time he told his dreams, he got into trouble with his siblings because they hated him and envied him. What is this thing that you're talking about? But his father kept these things in his mind. And Joseph, one day he dreamt. He said, the sun and the moon and so forth and 11 stars, they made obeisance unto me. And then one day he also dreamt, he said, my brothers and I, we were in the woods or in the fields and we were doing this thing and their own sheaves, bow down to my sheaves and so forth. So, the brother said, what's he talking about? So one day, when they were out, and Joseph wasn't going out usually with them in the wilderness because his father loved him because of being the child of his old age and so on, so he sent him to the brothers to go and check them out. When he was coming a long ways, you know the story, but for in case you don't know it, when he was coming a long ways, they say, there comes that dreamer of dreams. So let's bump him off. Let's get rid of him and then we'll see what will become of his dreams. But God had a better plan. Amen. The favor of God was upon Joseph and the enemy could not derail him from his destiny. Amen. The enemy cannot derail you from your destiny. Amen. Especially when the favor of God is upon you. Now this man, everything that they did to destroy him, to kill him, spied against him, he was framed, everything that happened to him kept moving him forward towards that thing that God had for him. Amen. Amen. Beautiful story, folks. Beautiful story. So they put him in the dungeon. At first they put him in the doggy hole, but one of his brothers said, let's not do that and so on. So, because he thought, no, that's not good. Let's not kill him. We just do this and so on. So he wanted to come back and save him. He didn't get a chance. Before he got back, they sold him to a caravan of slave traders that was going a far way. They carried this little boy, maybe 16, 17. I don't know how old he was, And he went into a far country, never to see his father again, he thought. All of a sudden, can you just imagine? He wasn't thinking about that. Just went to go and visit his brethren. And the next thing you know, his life is upside down. And so finally he gets there and he's a slave now. A slave. He was a free man just in one day and the next thing he's a slave. And they sold him off into slavery. And the whole time he's probably thinking and the devil whispering behind his shoulder and say, aha, we'll see what will become of your dreams now. You know that devil is an old double crosser. And he'll come in there and he'll charge you up on the word of God and he'll say things and so forth. He'll cut up like that. And he'll say, all those your dreams and so forth. Where are they now? See, God has forsaken you, and all that. Well, the boy, he determined in his heart that he was going to be true to his God. Amen. Amen. Didn't care whether he was thrown into thing or that. And everywhere he went, there was something special about this guy. He got into slavery, and as soon as he was there, before he knew anything, God promoted him. He was promoted to be the head of the slaves for whatever reason. Well, you say, it's the head of slaves, that's nothing. Well, maybe not. And then when Potiphar's wife conspired to lie with him and so forth, and he wouldn't do it, he said, look, I cannot do this evil against my God. Well, she framed him. They threw him in the slammer. That jail and that prison. Of course, now Potiphar and so forth, was probably chief of army staff, you may call it that way. But until they threw him, that's Joseph, into the prison, he probably didn't have a chance to meet the king. Didn't have a chance. He had gone as far as he could. He was already serving the chief of army staff, or the chief of White House, chief of staff, or anything you want to call it. I don't know. Chief of army staff is what he was in those days. But when they threw him into prison, that the word of God concerning Joseph might come to pass. Amen? God made it so that the king himself became angry with two of his own head servants and threw them into the same prison where Joseph was. Because God was planning something. Amen. And because the favor of God was with Joseph, even when he was in prison, they made him the head of the prisoners. Everywhere he went, people were trying to stomp him down, but God was always elevating him. Stomp him down, God would lift him up. Stomp him down, God would lift him up. Because the favor of God was upon him. Amen. So finally, by the gift of interpretation of dreams, you know, he finally came before Pharaoh. I can't go into all the story, but you may know the story. And when he came before Pharaoh, my lambs, you know, in one day he was a prisoner, and the next day he was a vice president.
Hallelujah!
Somebody. Well, actually, it's not like vice president in those days, because today vice president doesn't do very much, but it was like vice regent, you know, because the Pharaoh was an absolute monarch, and this guy was second in charge. And Pharaoh, when he finally told him, he said, "Your name is Joseph, and I am Pharaoh."
Hallelujah!
"And without you, nothing will be done in Egypt." And he put his ring upon his finger.
Hallelujah, somebody!
The favor of God from prison to the throne. Hallelujah. And all those his brothers that thought they had gotten the better of him and so forth, that dream came to pass. They came and bowed down before him. Amen. Just like the word of prophecy said, and just like the favor of God said, they worshiped at his feet. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God was upon him, and the Spirit of forgiveness. Hallelujah. And somebody else would have been vindictive and so on. No, not Joseph. You know, he tried to show them one thing or the other, but the Spirit of God came upon him and he forgave them. Beautiful story. But the point was that the favor of God kept lifting him up. No matter how they tried to destroy him and so forth. Now, that's all these stories that I'm going to tell today. But now, here's what I want to declare unto you. Just like Joseph, when the favor of God is in your life, now, there was a reason why the favor of God was in Joseph's life too. God had picked him out of that lineage. God was picking one of them out. First it was Abraham, then it was Isaac, then it was Jacob, and then it was Joseph, and God was going to do something even within the children of Joseph there, you know, and so forth, the crossing of the hands, you know. So, when he was walking down that way, God had a perfect plan. And despite everything that the enemy tried to do, like I said, God's favor kept moving him forward. Now, the favor of God shall speak for you too. Amen.
Amen.
God's favor will locate you. The favor of God located him in that hole where they dug and threw him there. Because God moved upon somebody and said, "Well, don't kill him. Let's do this and so forth." Well, you know, and then the favor of God, see, sometimes because the favor of God is working on you, when even somebody is planning evil, amen,
amen,
God will change it for good. Amen.
Amen.
So God made it so that they sold him into slavery instead of killing. But the favor of God located him. Even in slavery, praise you in the name of the Lord. Have you never read, said the Lord, how that my favor located Daniel even in slavery? Amen, folks? Have you never read how the favor of God located Esther in slavery? And the Bible said, at such a time as this. Oh my. And listen to the other sermon too, called Table in the Presence of Your Enemies. That's a good one. God made Haman to serve up the table for the Jews that he wanted to destroy. Because the favor of God was upon the Jews. Praise in the name of the Lord. Now getting back to what God will do for you when his favor is in your life. You know, many, many years ago, I'm going to digress here and just tell a short story about myself. A testimony, then I'll tell a story. Many years ago when I was in Nigeria, I've always been preaching faith for a long, long time. You know, a long time. And I used to, every time I got excited about something, I used to jump up and preach it. And then one day, many, many years ago, this was in the 70s, or maybe early 80s, the Lord was dealing with me. And then he said, you know, then I said, "Now," and the Lord said, "Look, Haven't you ever read that the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits of the harvest? I said, well, what does that mean? And the Lord showed me that, look, don't just jump up and go and preach something just because you got excited with something you read in the Bible or read in some book. Experience it first. Amen. Hallelujah. Because experience, you know, maketh not ashamed. Hallelujah. So, I started holding back. And even till this day, there'll be times I want to preach something and so forth, and I wait. And especially when it's something that's practical, until I experience it. And when I experience it, then I'm emboldened to preach it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of God. Because the least person in the kingdom of God is somebody who preaches something and himself doesn't do it. He shall be the least in the kingdom. Amen. I don't want to be that guy. You know, so, you know. And lately, throughout this year, the messages that God has been giving me, by the grace of God, I have been personally experiencing them. Amen. Experiencing them. And then after I'm sure that I have experienced it, and you can't take it away from me, then I'm emboldened to share it with you. Amen. And then you can go and experience the same thing, because God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. It's not a respecter of persons. You know, so, you know, I can say by the grace of God that the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Amen. Amen. Are the lines falling unto you in pleasant places? Do you have the favor of God in your life? Or some of you may not know it, that you have the favor of God in your life. But all you have to do is look back and see. One day we were here in the evening and I would say, look, count your blessings. Enumerate them one by one. Not just say, Lord, I thank you. No, go back one by one and remember the specific things that he has done for you. Don't just gloss over it and lump everything together into one big thing. Oh, God, I thank you for all your goodness. No, that's not good enough. Go back and thank him for the various things that he has done. Hallelujah. And it's amazing when you do that. So, I look back in my life and I see wonderful things. I mean, my life, to the glory of God, is just one favor after favor. Amen. And this favor has passed upon my children. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise and glory for that. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if your parent is favored, the favor will pass upon you when they are godly seed. But through foolishness, you may not walk in it. Now, so you better get up and walk in the favor of God. Amen. That's for all the young people here. Now, God will send his favor on your behalf, even when you don't even know anything about it. When his favor is in your life. Praise the Lord. When you cannot do it, you know, and when you don't know where you're going, even sometimes, when you're not even thinking about it, the favor of God is already working for you. Praise God. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He that keepeth Israel. It's like that. You know, you have to go to sleep sometimes, but God never sleeps. And he never slumbers. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect before him. And these seven spirits of God, they're like the eyes of God. You know, God doesn't need to move anywhere up and down, but he likes to give those angelic powers, likes to make them feel like they got something to do. That's how God is. God engages people in his creation to do stuff for him. You know, and they go out and they come back and report to him. It's not like the Lord needs any report. He already knows everything. Hallelujah. But he has given them responsibilities. You know, and those angels, they don't need to sleep either. So they are constantly working on your behalf. And the Lord, he has this, you know, sometimes these conferences that he calls. And he said, look, you know, there is something that my son is believing for. Amen. So you all go down there and make sure it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Are they not called ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister on the heirs, on behalf of the heirs of salvation?
That's right.
They are ministering spirits. And they go forth to minister on your behalf. Even while you are asleep, God is working. Praise the Lord. A personal testimony of the favor of God. I won't go into too much details. But, you know, the last few weeks has seen just all kinds of things that God has been doing. For me, I was praying about something. There's some even stuff that I wasn't even looking for. Amen. And God doing it. Praise the Lord. You know, I been a consultant and so forth for many, many years. Some people actually don't know that I actually have a job besides preaching here. You know, people have asked me that. But I do. Amen. So anyway, the last time I believe I had a regular job and so forth was many, many years ago, probably 1988. Since then, I have been consulting for myself. There was an opportunity that came sometime last couple of months, a company where I was consulting at. I didn't even care about it. I didn't care because I like my time as a consultant because it's free. I can do anything, whenever, take time off. Nobody needs to worry about it. Because I don't get paid if I don't work. So I can take 3 weeks off and go to Africa. That's great. I can do it. So I didn't care too much about it. But what I want to say is this. To cut a long story short and without getting too deep into it, you know, but I will say this. That there was a position that I might have been interested in, but I didn't. Was interested in it. Some senior level manager position for IT and different kind of things. I didn't care too much initially, but God was working something. And then I said, okay, so why? All right, well, I will, you know, see about it. So, try to see about it, and I didn't care. Because there was a requirement that they put forth, which was like, look, there is an absolute relocation requirement to some place elsewhere. And I withdrew my application. Praise the name of the Lord. Because these days, I don't know about anybody else, but my first priority is this ministry right here. Amen. Hallelujah. I do those other things, but I'm only working from home. And I said, I'm only working from home. I'm not even going to walk down in Tempe or some other place. I'm working from home. If you don't like it, you can keep your job. Praise the Lord. You know, well, I can't go too much into that, but you know, to cut a long story short, the favor of God was speaking for me, even when I wasn't doing anything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is Brother Okwe here? Okay. I mention your name because one day, some few weeks ago, we were in the men's prayer line. And Brother Okwe was leading the prayer. And he said something that day. And it was just something that the Lord was just telling me the whole day. And I said, wow, that's good. Which is similar to this. I was praying that when your own wisdom and knowledge will fail, that the favor of God will speak for you. Amen. And I said, Lord, I latch on to that. You know. So, and the favor of God was speaking for me. For a position that I did, you know, that I withdrew myself from, you know, the senior executives and so forth sought me out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I said, well, I can't do it. And he said, well, you know, we have removed the relocation requirement. Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you like your application to be reinstated? I said, well, I already withdrew my application. I said, well, you know, we're telling you that we've withdrawn the relocation requirement. I said, well, if I can work from home, that's number one. Praise the Lord. I said, well, you know, but the bottom line is this. There were people that might have been even more qualified than myself that applied. They were even willing to relocate. And I found out later on that, you know, this current tower that I work for of so many technical professionals The man who is currently our manager applied for the same job. Amen. And he's been managing our team for 7 years. I've been working on that deal for 7 years. I found out later on that he was rejected because they wanted to give the job to me. Hallelujah. The favor of God will seek you out. The favor of God will find you out. Now, I was minding my own business. Sister Precious said one day she was minding her business. I was truly minding my own business. In this case, my wife will tell you. I was minding my own business. I pulled my application and everything. But favor was seeking me out. Hallelujah. And about three or four most technically sound people, including my own manager, applied for the manager's job, which I've been working under him, and they rejected him in my favor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Something that I wasn't even pursuing. In fact, I was so nonchalant about it. I didn't really care. Well, I don't work from home, forget about it. But God's favor seeking you out. Amen. Now, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, a short testimony. I don't often give. There's a lot of things that God does in my life that I don't give testimony about. But I wanted to throw this in because it goes with this message. Just so you will see, it has nothing to do about me. In fact, there's so many things I didn't say because I don't want to talk about that. But I want you to see how God's favor will find you out. But you see, unless you believe it. Now, this favor is working in your life, or in your bloodstream. You're already in your bloodstream. But if you start saying, now, folks, if you start thinking negative thing in your head, soon enough, you will say the same negative thing out of your mouth. And then you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. So, think on these things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. If there be any praise, if it has things that are of good report, if there is favor in it, think on these things. Channel your thoughts towards positive things. Get up in the morning and say, God's favor is working for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some people think it is, just because of this, all this prosperity preaching and so forth, false prosperity preaching that's been going on, it makes other people to think that it's wrong for God to prosper you. That's another lie from the devil. Amen. Those are two extremes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be loaded. Loaded upon you. Hallelujah. Now, I've got an anointing upon me here this morning, and I want to offload on some people. Hallelujah. So, if that's you, and you want offloading, Mountain Paul said, I can't wait that I might, impart unto you something, Now, if you are here this morning, now, by the grace of God, favor is in this place today. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a young lady back there. Her name is Favor. Come and help me preach the rest of this message. Come out here. Favor, come out here. Come out here, Ayusha. Come out here, Favor. Quickly. Yeah, I'm calling for you. That's right. Your name is Favor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for Favor. She completed her one phase of education and she's moving to the next. She graduated this week, didn't she? Didn't she? Yeah. What's your name?
Favor.
Favor. What does that mean? I put her on the spot. Mom, what does that mean?
It's all the
bountiful blessings of God and so forth. Well, let me tell you something that it means. It means the goodness of God upon you, even when you don't deserve it. Amen. Even when you are not looking for it. God's favor. Your name is Favor. That's why you're here. Don't be embarrassed. I just I looked and I said, oh, there's one here that's called Favor. You know, so that's why she's here to help me. You know, as you focus on her name being Favor, I'm going to ask you to come out here real quickly, you know, and let's see God's favor begin to work for you from today on. Amen. Praise God. Now, I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ that don't you dare, after today, speak or think negative thing in your head. Amen? Don't think negative thing in your head, because the favor of God is in this room today. In fact, it has already been in your life. You know, I'm just bringing awareness to it. But I can't put favor on anybody. It's already there. Praise God. But there's an anointing. The Bible says, stir up the gift that is in you. Hallelujah. So there's an anointing to stir up what God has already put in your life. And my job here today is to put awareness into people's head that God's favor is already in your life. And you must act like somebody that is blessed and highly favored. Don't act like somebody that is not favored. Hallelujah. But remember the caution we read today, that when you begin to eat in plenty and be satisfied, when things begin to happen and riches increase and so forth, don't set your heart upon them. Remember the Lord your God. Hallelujah. That's another secret to favor. You know, that's something that God has taught me. I don't care about any of these things, but they keep chasing me anyway. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thank you, favor. You may stand there and you receive the blessing as well. Now, I want you to raise your hands. God's favor is already in your life. And I am going to remind you again that the Lord said, as we cross over into this year, that in 2017, you shall be built up. Now, and if you are not built up yet, I want to remind you that the word of God cannot fall to the ground. The word that is spoken will prosper. It will accomplish its purpose in your life. Amen. The favor of God that's already in your life, let it work for you. Amen. Don't hinder God. God is working on your behalf. Amen. Now lift up your hands. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are working in the behalf of these people. Hallelujah. The favor of God is moving for everyone already. In the name of Jesus. Those of you who have the righteous seed, yes, you are the seed of the righteous. It's double favor in your lives. The favor that I have upon my life, in my children's life, must be doubled. Because not only do they receive from the godly's land, they receive from their own connection as well. And so it's doubled. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The same thing for everyone that is in here today. Now, let me speak the word of God to the elements. Hallelujah. The Bible says to Ezekiel, speak to the dead bones. Speak. Hallelujah. So let me prophesy to the east wind. Let me prophesy to the west wind. Let me prophesy to the north wind. Wherever, let them move in your life. Move for you in the name of Jesus. The favor of God goes into action in your life. The things which you thought were impossible, there shall nothing be impossible with God. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? He is the God of all flesh, folks. There is nothing that is too hard for him to do. Say not in your heart, say the Lord, that there are yet 9 months or 6 months or 8 months to the end of this year. For before the end of this year, hallelujah, 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 the favor of God will overtake you. Amen. The thing which I said cannot be done will be done. Amen. Because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now, bless the Lord your God, all you people. Bless the Lord your God. Come on, somebody bless his name. Bless the Lord your God. Bless the, this is how the blessing comes upon you, by blessing him. Bless the name of the Lord. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now I want you to say, as we end this segment, I want you to say the favor of God is working for me. I say it with some conviction. The favor of God is working for me. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. But the goodly heritage, what I already talked about, it came from the godly line of your parents. I have a goodly heritage. And the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. And the Lord, He now will become my song. That's right. He is your glory and the lifter up of your head. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Again, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The praise team may come back to the stage real quick. Hallelujah.